You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on this hour after 10:30, the segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news, take a breath, talk about other things. We're excited. Paul Trebian from the Holiday Folk Fair is going to be joining us. Yes. He stopped by last year in studio. Holiday Folk Fair going to be going on in Milwaukee this weekend. It has been around for decades. Mm-hmm. Great, great event.
Yeah.
Get you in the holiday spirit. Give you a chance to have wonderful food from all around the world.
Oh my God, the food's amazing.
It is amazing. And see some incredible dancing and all kinds of great cultural stuff. So Paul Trebian will be here after the 10:30 news. We'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today, the Space Medal Edition. Greg's very excited about this one. That's coming up at the end of the show. Wanted to start off with healthcare.
Yeah.
Big discussion for all of us. This is important to all of us. This is what the president of the United States, and of course I just got a warning on that now and it won't come up, said about what we should do to fix the healthcare crisis in this country. It's about $2,000 checks, Greg.
Great.
That's all we need.
And for those people
out
there,
get it done, says Donald Trump. Get it done. The only healthcare I will support or approve, all caps, is sending the money directly back to the people with nothing going to the big, fat, rich insurance companies who have made trillions and ripped off America long enough. The people will be allowed to negotiate and buy their own much better insurance power to the people. Congress, don't waste your time on anything else. This is the only way to have great health care in America. Get it done now. There you go. Those big, fat, rich insurance companies, which they've been criticizing so steadily for the last 15 years. They have.
Well, the thing that I'm very, okay, so I'm kind of confused. He wants to give everyone $2,000 to find their own health insurance coverage.
Which would mean paying health insurance companies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he wants to create a subsidy, a government subsidy.
Of $2,000.
Of $2,000 to go to every American to purchase health care. He has just rebooted, rebranded, legacy, like all those movies coming out now. He's just doing the ACA. That's all this is. Only it's a direct payment so we can find our money, our insurance coverage. Instead of getting a tax break or a tax incentive, anything like that, we're just going to get a check from the government, which, by the way, cutting a check to the entire people.
It's pricey.
That's pricey as well.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense because also $2,000 will most likely not cover an individual's health care, just the coverage. And if this money is just for the coverage, that probably won't cover you unless you are willing to get the most basic version of it available. And also, where are you going to do that? Because in order to get individual health care, that's usually what you go through the marketplace for from the ACA.
And one thing that helps the marketplace mm-hmm. is when you have a bigger group of people negotiating prices, then the price might come down. Individuals have much less bargaining power with insurance companies than groups do. So, great, we all get to individually negotiate with insurance companies. That's going to fix it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What would you like to see happen to healthcare in America? Should we make fixes to the ACA? Should we go back and just get rid of the ACA and go back to the way it was before? So great.
I can't imagine because that means your pre-existing conditions keep you from getting covered.
855-752-4842. Cassandra from New London is joining us on the line. Good morning, Cassandra. What do you think?
Good morning. So I'm a big Medicare for all person or universal health care, 100%. Yep. Like I am at the point where I see there's really no incentive for me to like pay thousands of dollars to an insurance company for healthcare that I might end up needing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they just taking all this money. And honestly, just from my personal perspective as a nurse that works in critical care, I see like people going through medical treatments that, I mean, I'll just put it this way. We treat our animals better than we treat our humans. Yeah. And I feel like if some doctors weren't incentivized, whether they are not thinking this way or not, but like if doctors aren't incentivized by charging more for all these tests because the insurance companies want more money, I just feel like we could probably give more compassionate care, especially to people who are kind of in like the twilight of their lives. Yeah. Like we don't need to continually torture them with medical treatment just because we have the resources for it.
That's a really good point, Cassandra. I am thinking back to when my mother was very ill, and this is going back a good 16, 17 years, but she had had some surgery. She was in her well into her 80s. She was 85. During the course of this surgery, her liver shut down. Mm-hmm. And when we went back into the hospital, the surgeon said, well, you know, we can do other surgeries, but when she's going to be on dialysis for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And it was like, she's 85. She'll be hooked up to a machine. She's going to have to have dialysis. What is the quality of life that we're talking about?
Yeah.
So they're offering treatment sometime, as you said, Cassandra. Yes, we have the ability to do that, but what's that really going to do for this person, right?
Exactly. And unfortunately, I see that all the time, and it takes a toll on the healthcare workers.
I bet.
The last thing that I want to do is put this patient through this. And a lot of times, you know, I'm advocating that, you know, we need to stop doing this and think about their comfort and just their quality.
You know, you make such a good point, though, Cassandra, about it's got to be really heavy what you do.
It is, but it's also it is rewarding as well. Yeah. So that kind of does make up for it. But at the end of the day, like, you know, I have to advocate for these patients because the medical system is set up in a way that I am their only advocate in some cases.
Yep. So. Well, they're lucky they have you.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks for doing what you do, Cassandra.
And we love hearing from you on the live stream as well. That nurse's perspective is wonderful to
Absolutely.
Have. This whole conversation we're having now, it opens it up to other topics too of like, you know, quality of life, having the right and ability to end your suffering on your own, which is something that I think only exists in two states in the union, Washington and Oregon. I know Oregon is for sure, but you know, as far as the healthcare thing goes, you know, if the president wants to give us $2,000, if it's just for getting a healthcare program, getting a health insurance plan, that's really not going to help you unless you are a single person and willing to pay like $20,000 deductible and like you get the least amount version, the tiniest version, but you still have something. You have catastrophic essentially. But a lot of people would probably use that $2,000 to pay down medical debt.
To pay electricity bills.
Well, I mean,
to pay utility bills, to pay food bills.
Yeah. If you had to use it to buy an insurance plan, okay, fine. But then where does the rest of that money come from? I mean, it's not a fix. And it's insulting that he thinks it's a fix. And also, I'm sorry, but stop trying to treat us like you're the Superman-esque figure standing in front of us, between us and the big bad insurance company. We know who pays for you. We know that they're going to get the money eventually. They don't care if you mock them or speak down to them. They're still going to make billions of dollars a quarter and still get our money. So don't act like this is a fix. It's not.
Well, and it just, again, it makes me laugh that all of a sudden we're all against the big, bad, rich, bloated insurance companies. Yeah, the general population has been feeling that way for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't remember hearing any criticism from either side
about
the incredible amounts of money the insurance companies rake in.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, oh, now we hate them.
But you know what, though, Jane? It goes back to the original kernel of truth that we've been talking about for weeks and months now. This is a headline we are now talking about because we are not talking about the Epstein files or the big bill for billionaires, which is going to take a lot of our Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP benefits and put them into the pockets of millionaires and billionaires. Those are the two highest crimes, I think, of this presidency. It's not the, you know, this is the, if he gets this $2,000, I mean, if I can only use it for healthcare, I get healthcare. I have healthcare through my wife's job. And so therefore, do I not get the money? If you're going to give me the money, I'm going to pay down a bill. I'm going to use it for something else.
Well, and are they going to send out $2,000 checks for every person in the household?
I don't know.
Because I haven't seen that addressed yet.
No.
Is it just the adults in the household?
Well, this is just like, I'm trying to think. He says so many things, which seems off the cuff, like the 50-year mortgage thing. It just seems like it happens in the moment. There's, like I said to you and to Todd and Pat recently, when you want to put forth a policy or a program, it goes through a lot. It goes through its incubation. It goes through the development. It goes through scoring. It goes through testing the language in front of people to see if like the words pop and make them excited. There's a long process before you say, here's our program.
Yeah.
Here is our bill. Here is the thing. But he just says, I want to send everyone $2,000.
And that's going to fix it all.
And I have to feel something I don't usually feel for people, which is empathy for people who work for Donald Trump. In the background, tearing their hair out going, we can't do this.
Jim from Appleton texting in, listening on WISS in Oshkosh. Sure, there's an answer, just like the rest of the developed world. Single-payer universal health care.
Yep. And by the way, this is another thing, too, that, you know, if you live in another country that has that, you can still get private insurance if you want. That's
absolutely
still available.
And most people do. I have a friend in Uruguay who has only been there for about a year. And I talked to her just a couple of weeks ago. She said, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You go in.
Yep.
You see the doctor.
And you leave.
And you leave.
Yep.
And they treat you.
Yep.
And then you leave. And you don't lose your home or your car or all of your savings.
Yeah.
It can be done.
It can be done.
We just don't have the will to do it.
And also there, you know, one of the things that makes people, I mean, you can paint a picture that universal health care or that the HMS or Canada, wherever, there are all these problems. Of course, there's no big program out
Nothing
there.
Nothing is perfect.
No governmental program of that heft and size is going to be perfect. But you definitely can be in America and wait in emergency rooms and wait in line and not get covered. And you get to call insurance companies and say, sorry, that thing that's actually going to make your life better, we don't cover that. So sorry.
Not going to do that.
So, of course, why not just give it a try.
Jim from Appleton again. My employer paid health care costs $1,221 a month. That's the combined for me and my employer. $2,000 wouldn't even give me 2 months of coverage. Yeah.
Yep.
Not enough. Stay close. We'll be right back. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking about healthcare, the ACA. Donald Trump's big fix for the healthcare in this country is $2,000 checks to everybody so you can just buy insurance from the health insurance industry, which seems to be kind of what we're doing.
You can
now
put a down payment
on your health coverage. 855-752-4842 if you would like to join us. Richard from Waukesha has been very patient. Good morning, Richard. Thanks for joining us.
Morning. I got something that's interesting. A 20% copay on federal employees, 15% copay on state employees for a starter.
What?
That's the fix, you think?
Well, that's the start to see where we're at.
Well, when I was a city employee, I had copays. Like if you are a federal, state, or city, like if you are a governmental employee, I think you're still responsible for copay. I know I was when I had
health
insurance.
So.
I had phenomenal health insurance that was literally pennies on the dollar compared to other people. But I mean, I don't know if we are raising the prices on their copays, but I mean, we asked for ideas, and appreciate you calling, Richard, for that. I mean, I think that I would say, well, this isn't a solution. This is just me being petty.
That's okay. You can be petty.
Allow congressmen, the president, and senators to search for health care on their own for a year and see how they like it.
But they've all got the money.
They've all got the money.
It won't bother them.
Yeah, you're right.
They're in a whole different economic stratosphere.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton joining us on the line. Good morning, Cindy. What do you think about this?
Oh, another debacle. But anyway, $2,000, is that going to be tax-free, number one? And number two, what are they going to do about the deductible? I mean, $2,000 for most people isn't even enough to cover their deductible.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Again, they just throw stuff out there without thinking it through. Whoa. And I want to go back to, it was Biden's fault for heating up inflation by sending out the stimulus checks during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So inflation going up was all Biden's fault because of those checks that he sent out while we were all shut down trying to keep people alive.
Mm-hmm.
That was horrible, but this is the answer. Now we're going to send $2,000 checks out to everybody for health insurance.
Yeah.
Make that make sense.
Well, and also two questions really quick also. Well, one, how are you going to, not a question so much as a statement as I made before. Printing and sending out these checks are going to cost money. It's going to cost money to do this. Also, where's the money going to come from?
Tariff shelf.
And I think it's $2,000 if you make below $100,000 a year. But also, once again, where are you going to get this money? The tariff shelf?
It's tariff shelf.
Jenny on the live stream says we shouldn't give the idea of these random $2,000 checks until Congress is legitimately involved.
Yeah, they have the power of the purse.
Congress has the power of the purse. He's fooling people the way that he said that he insisted his signature was on the stimulus check. It's all a game. And it says we should not give the idea of these random checks any attention until Congress is involved. And yeah, and I don't know at this point. I do not know at this point if the Republicans would be on board with something like this. And also the money that they're going to get back in taxes. Because got to come from somewhere.
Yes, it does. And from Chippewa Falls, listening on WAUK, texting in, tax the rich 2%. Healthcare is a human right. Thank you.
I mean, that's the other thing too, is we have the ability to small incremental increases on, like you raise the increase. You raise the ceiling on Social Security, you can fund that so much easier. A tiny bit.
Infinitesimal, yes. A really small amount would make an enormous difference.
You charge, you living rich in this country, make it a tiny increase, percentages, 1% to 2%. That's going to give us so much revenue. But then what they do is they treat it like you are absolutely, like you hate America for even suggesting a way for someone who is rich beyond belief, rich for 1,000 people, that they dare chip in a little bit more.
855-752-4842. Jack from Merrimack on the line. Good morning, Jack. What do you want to say about this?
Good morning. Well, I have a couple of things to say. I've been actually thinking about this for a while. Insurance companies have somewhere between a 15 and 20% markup. Let's say 15%. The markup on Medicare, the administrative costs are about 2%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we were to take the money that people put into, or that employers put into employee insurance, keep all those people on employee insurance, but turn it over to Medicare, and you wouldn't even have to worry about the in-network, by the way, with Medicare, because you can go to any doctor,
that
certified that you want, that'd be about a 13% saving, which means we could probably insure 13% more people with no increase in cost to anybody. Then you've got more millions of people on Medicare. then you've got a huge negotiating power. You can negotiate with drug companies,
yeah.
I think,
yeah.
or negotiate with big hospital like Ascension and all these big hospital conglomerates. You could probably bring the price down somewhat even more. If you could, we pay twice as much per person as any place else in the world.
Yep.
If you could even knock that down to 1.5 times as much, you could probably insure everybody in the country, and it wouldn't cost anything more.
Got to go, Jack. We're up against the clock. Thank you for that. You should be an advisor.
Yep.
To the Trump administration. I'm sure they'd welcome
yeah.
that. Do we have news coming up next? We're going to lighten it up when we return with Audio Sorbet and Paul Trebian from the Holiday Folk Fair. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are welcoming and so happy to have him back in studio with us. Paul Trebian from the Holiday Folk Fair is here for our Audio Sorbet segment, where we get away from the news and talk about lighter, more pleasant things. Good to see you again, Paul. Thanks so much
for
coming down
here. Yeah.
Holiday Folk Fair kicks off on Friday. This is happening at the Expo Center at State Fair Park in West Dallas. What's new? Well, I want to talk. We were talking off the air a little bit about the Holiday Folk Fair and your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And explain your background a little bit and the tribe to which you belong.
Well, I'm part of the Tlingit tribe, Southeast Alaska. Juneau is the area. That's our homeland. And my daughter decided to move up there to be next to my mom, her grandma.
Oh, wow.
To help take care of her. My grandmother is 91 or 92 now. And so and my daughter's an artist, a formal artist. And so she decided to pick up additional training at the University of Alaska Southeast, Juneau. And she's becoming what I would call a cultural guardian. I mean, she's learning all of the different media, weaving, the beadwork, the wood carving, the line art, and the language. And she's really good, better than I am with
is she
the language,
really?
Yes.
And that's something that, did you grow up speaking that in the house?
A little bit.
A little bit.
When I was growing up, there was a big push to learn English very, very
sure.
much. And now there's a surgence to preserve culture. And the best way to preserve culture is to preserve language, That's my intro. Long seafaring bird, shark clan, eagle house, my mother's dot kutis. And my daughter corrects me on that now. So she says,
you
need to speak a little bit with the sneaky sounds, and also the wording is a little different, Dad.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Did she? Well, actually, Dad, you must have. But I mean, that's something that's, and I hesitate to believe anything I hear on social media, but something I have heard, and please feel free to either confirm or deny, that the preservation of native language, native art, the growth of as a population has grown and gotten better over the past few years than where it was many years ago. I mean, is that, I know that it's a start, but is that where you're at, and how do you see that? How did you see that happening over the years? Like, what were the catalysts to making sure that you would ensure your culture and its growth?
Well, I would actually say in my entire lifetime, it's totally changed. Mm-hmm. When I was young, it was shunned upon to wear regalia.
Sure.
I'll be a little dark here at first. You could wear your colors and the regalia I'm wearing, and there was laws that put you in jail.
Oh, my gosh.
And so as I grew up, we have a lot of negativity with the government. But the government, actually, over the years, when I've been growing up, mm-hmm. and now I'm up there in years, has changed all that. And throughout all of those prejudicial laws and racist laws, and we created a celebration in 1980. That was back in 1980,
mm-hmm.
Where every even year, the first weekend in June, the tribes come to, or the tribes, yes, Haida, Tlingit, Tsimshian, and then Pacific Islanders come to Alaska to celebrate the culture. It's mm-hmm. song, dance, storytelling, show off regalia. We cordon off a street and have a little parade. And it's just absolutely wonderful. So we feel free to express ourselves. At'u, art, very tied to our culture. It's about remembering. It's not about worshiping. It's about remembering.
Sure, mm-hmm. and honoring. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And honoring mother and father. Yep. It's a matrilineal society. So by you commenting when I came through the door, it's wonderful to see the regalia. You're actually honoring my mother. So gunish chish. That's thank you and Tlingit for honoring my mother.
Of course.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. It really is. I hope you're watching in the live stream so you can get a look at this. Paul Trebian is here from the Holiday Folk Fair, which kicks off this Friday at the Expo Center in West Dallas, for Friday from 2 to 9, Saturday from 10 to 9, and Sunday from 10 to 6. What are some of the new things that are going to be here this year?
Well, we always try to have some familiarity. So the layout is the same and whatnot. And many of the culture groups are repeats, which is wonderful. They're very professional, good song and dance. But we do have a professional group coming from Poland, and we also have another group coming from Utah. And so be on the lookout for them. We have some new food booths that I can't remember off the top of my head. There's so many.
There are lots of food items. Hey, bring an empty stomach. Bring an appetite because you're going to need it.
Yeah, the struggle is real. My biggest problem is going to be resisting all the desserts. I love anything chocolate.
Yeah.
Well, you have food demonstrations, mm-hmm. and Saturday you can learn how to make dill pickle soup.
Which day that?
That is Saturday, 11 a.m.
Here we go.
Polish Center. He's from the Polish Center. Dill pickle soup.
Here we go.
You can kolaches. Treviso and troublemakers, all kinds of stuff going on. We will include a link in our show notes to the Holiday Folk Fair if you want to check out some of the things that are going to be available. A couple of years ago, my sister and I went specifically to see some of the dance. It's fantastic just because it's like a little sampler plate of all these different cultures. Mm-hmm. And the music is so different and the interpretation is so different and the mm-hmm. costuming and everything. It's a really wonderful exposure to all these different cultures.
With all the strife and everything that we're feeling, it's a great place to come to release all that, discover who you are, discover mm-hmm. other cultures, who they are, discover the similarities, find out what the differences are. And then at the big leap is to celebrate our differences. It makes us richer, fuller, solves more problems, and it starts with who we are, our identity. So
I couldn't agree with you more on that. I think about that topic so much in today's society. I feel like if and I'm going to stick to America, if we as Americans really looked at where we come from, who are not just our relatives are, but our ancestors, their struggle when they came here to America, their struggle from where they came from. If we looked at those things, if we looked at and then looked at our art and our music and our dance and our food and the way families celebrate each other and the way families take care of each other, I feel like you have this great patchwork to come together and say, oh, we're kind of all in this together. And we all, to a certain extent, have similar stories to an extent, which should breed mm-hmm. empathy and breed commonality and the desire to come together and say, I don't know your life story, but I know my story, and I know that my family went through struggles. You did. Let's try to do something together. And then also let's eat some great food. You know, I think the Holiday Folk Fair, while being a great time to celebrate and have a good time, can also give you self-reflection on where do you come from? How much do you know about your history? And when you do find out, how can you apply that to being I don't want to say a better person, but being just a more empathetic, contributing more.
Well, and it's about the connectivity between all of us, right? Because we have a lot more common threads mm-hmm. than our politics would like us to believe.
I think that you can discover ways where this commonality can solve some of that inner angst that we mm-hmm. all have of the division that we experience at some point in time. To know that we can do things together and mm-hmm. we can celebrate together. And like you said, the dance with all the traditional dress, there's so much meaning behind each stitch that yes. they have in their dress.
Yes.
And the steps that they take and the music they have. And the theme this year is, you know, celebrate the culture of traditional music. So hopefully we'll be able to show off instruments. And I think it's a great place to say, you know what? I think I'm going to try to pick that up. It's part of my culture.
Yeah.
Never too late to learn things.
Absolutely. I absolutely
knowledge
agree.
Is power. Yep. It's good for you. I'm just looking at the list of all the different food that you can get there. It's a long list. You can check out things Afghani, Burmese, Chinese, Croatian, Czech, Donnerschwaben. German?
It's wonderful.
Is it?
That's one of the reasons why you should come each day, because there's so much food to experience.
Yeah.
Donnerschwaben has assorted cookies, assorted torts, and apple and cherry strudels.
Paul's strudels. Downfall, the dessert.
Ethiopian, Filipino, God. French, Hmong, Indian, Irish, Italian, Japanese, Rohingya, which was new just within the last couple of years, Senegalese, South Korean, Thai, Ugandan, and Ukrainian. So there's something for everybody to eat.
I can't speak to all of those cuisines, but I can tell you that your life will be much richer and much better when you get Ethiopian food in your life. It is so delicious. And also, if you go to a real Ethiopian restaurant, it's all about family. You sit down together. You eat
it's
as
more of a
family
communal.
Meal. Jenny on the live stream says something that's very close to my heart, because this is what happened for me as well. I remember going to it as a little girl on a field trip and loved the folk fair. Does the event still hand out passports to get stamped at each destination? That's what we did as a kid. That was a yearly field trip, was coming to the folk fair in Milwaukee.
Yes, we do.
You do?
Yes, we do. And I like how they're printed out. They're very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is something that is so special. I love it when Education Day comes about. And I think it's real important for our young ones to learn about where they have come from.
Yeah.
Because it helps them deal with the present. And also, when you draw a line between the past and the present, an action from the past, action to the present, it gives you a direction. Now you don't have to worry about, what am I going to do? You look at that value that you find, and it helps you find direction.
Yeah.
Paul Trebian is here from the Holiday Folk Fair, which kicks off this Friday at the Expo Center at State Fair Park in West Dallas. Just a couple of minutes left. What do kids ask you? I'm just really curious. What do they ask you about your regalia when they see you?
Oh, well, the first question I usually get is like, where did you get it?
And can I get that on Amazon?
Right.
And I go, well, I got this from my mother in Alaska. She made it for me. Oh, your mother made it. So how long did it take her? You know, and I said, many months. And there's a lot of love in each one of the stitches and each of the beadwork. And then they ask about my mother, and they say, well, is your mother like my mother, you know, the little ones? And I go, yes, my mother
just
loves
same.
Me just like your mother loves you.
And she scolded me too.
Yes, right? That's right. Do the dishes.
Listen to your daughter. She's trying to help you with the pronunciations.
That's right.
Yeah.
Check out the Holiday Folk Fair. It is a wonderful, wonderful family tradition in southeastern Wisconsin. Again, happening at the Expo Center at State Fair Park in West Dallas this Friday from 2 to 9, Saturday 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., Sunday 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. What are ticket prices?
Oh, they're 13, but you can go on folkfair.org and you can get advanced prices, and then you can also get it at the door. So great.
We will include that link in our show notes. Paul Trebian with the Holiday Folk Fair. Thank you so very much, Paul. It's always a delight seeing you.
Tell your mother in Alaska that there are two fans of her work right here in Wisconsin. We love it. We love seeing it. Love seeing you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Stay with us. When we return, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Space Metal Edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Awesome.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks to Paul Trebian from the Holiday Folk Fair. Drove all the way down here from Milwaukee. Very much appreciated. Check out the Holiday Folk Fair. It really is a great event.
It's, you know, I love when he comes down here. For one, he's one of the calmest human beings I've ever met in my life. And also, when you talk about the Folk Fair, you cannot not talk about being a community.
Absolutely.
And learning more about yourselves and allowing that to help you understand others. And I think that that's the underlying wonderfulness of the Folk Fair. It's not just about the food and the dance and all the chocolatey dessert treats, but it's really about
connecting.
Taking that first step into learning about who you are and your culture and your people and how we have more in common than we think.
Absolutely. Coming up on the show tomorrow, very much looking forward to this, Amy Tubbs is going to join us. She runs the Pulaski High School newspaper, and they're doing a really good job. And we want to talk to her about the success of this program, how it started, how it's going, what is the goal. Amy Tubbs going to be here in hour number one on Matt Nair on Air. That's coming up tomorrow, so I hope you can join us for that. Right now, though, Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think this should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from loudersound.com, which I read all the time.
You know what? It's a good publication.
Headline reads... I saw they sent a bunch of celebrities into space, and I thought, well, if them, why not me? Megadeth frontman Dave Mustaine wants their final show to be in outer space.
Yep.
Megadeth main man Dave Mustaine has lofty ambitions for the band's final show ever, like seriously lofty. He is setting the scene for his ideal last show. He wants... They're going out on a tour, their imminent 17th album.
Yep.
An accompanying world tour will be their final chapter. Mustaine says he wants the last concert, though, to be in space. Quote, I hope we be playing up in space. I think that will be a really fitting climax. And I'm not talking about on the side of a vomit comet. A gig on the moon, a full moon landing, that would be cool, unquote. Is he still doing drugs?
Nope, he quit doing drugs a long time ago.
Oh, just checking.
He, okay.
Referring to Katy Perry, Star Trek legend William Shatner, and Virgin billionaire Richard Branson all going up into space in recent years, Megadave says, well, if them, why not me? I'm just watching to see how it all progresses. I think Elon Musk and Richard Branson are working on interstellar travel, and I think people are going to be traveling to space a lot sooner than we think.
You know how you always think that rock stars and the people like that are like the coolest people on Earth, and they're just so amazing? Well, this just shows, and I'm sorry, but you're going to really, no one's going to like what I'm about to say. It just shows that no matter what happens, as you get older, people just start saying weirder and weirder things. The big thing for me is, okay, go on the moon. Have you ever seen anyone walk on the moon? You're not going to be able to play speed metal and thrash metal on the moon.
Well, it's tough with gloves.
It's not even just tough with gloves, just the idea of being able to move. You're going to be,
very slow speed. It will be slow metal.
I am a big fan of Megadeth. I think they've made some of the most important music in metal ever. And as I said to you earlier, he has the distinction of being in not one, but two of the big four metal bands of the 80s. And this guy is a wackadoodle.
When asked if he thought this was actually possible, Dave Mustaine said people already travel over 40,000 feet in altitude. And when you get to that kind of atmosphere, you're basically already in space. No, most space studies agree outer space begins closer to 327,000 feet. So you got a little ways to go. I do think it's going to happen, though, says Dave. The question is, are people going to be able to inhabit the moon?
No! at the best version of this, David, we live stream this, but also it's never going to happen. And also, the metal community fights every day to be taken seriously. We have since the early 80s, actually the late 70s. And when you say things like this, you just make it more difficult. And no one's going to pay attention to your last album. They're going to be like, oh, look, Space Dave's back. He's probably going to complain about not being in Metallica anymore.
Space Dave, I love that. Well, we'll see.
Can we just stay in the air for another few hours? I want to talk about this.
See if this comes to pass. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and watching on the stream and for listening. It genuinely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.